Good morning. That was better than my first time. All right, let me just open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today just absolutely thankful for this new year and thankful for this opportunity to worship together as a community. I just ask that you speak through me and just open up our hearts and minds to what you want to teach us this morning. Be with us as we worship you. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So I am starting the first of four of our new sermon series for my youth. If you have your Bible, please take it out. So we're going to look at what prayer is in our Dear Father series. I'm going to speak specifically on the Father aspect of prayer. So what is prayer? I think that's the first question that I had to ask myself when we discuss what prayer is to begin with. So I kind of looked up a definition for the Google definition of what prayer is. It's a solemn request to God or a wishful hope. I think perhaps maybe the wishful hope is a request to God. Maybe it's one of the same thing. My notion, my suggestion for us this morning is that everyone prays to some degree. It might not be specifically to God. Some who don't believe in God might not be praying to God, but I think to some degree, everyone is praying. We see this in movies, right? If you think about a movie scene, there's always a dramatic, especially those drama movies, there's always a dramatic raining scene. You know, when it's raining, it always starts off drizzling, right? Someone's like thinking about life. Oh my goodness, life was really, really bad recently. They're going through some sort of distress or trial, and it starts drizzling on them. And then all of a sudden it pours. You know those pouring rains movie scenes? It's always really dramatic. Don't know what it is about rain, but it makes it that much more dramatic. I can think of two scenes. I don't know if you guys... I can't really see you guys, but raise your hands, or figuratively raise your hand, if you've seen The Truman Show, a movie back then. For someone like me growing up in Canada, that was like besides Forrest Gump, that's another movie you watch. But the scene, Jim Carrey is standing on a beach, and he is contemplating about life because he learned a lot about what his life actually is, and it starts drizzling on him. And then he walks away because he's like, oh, it's just raining right above me. And then the drizzling rain follows him because it's a bit of a comedic act. And then all of a sudden it pours on him. And then that's at that point he's just drenched in water. Looking up into what he thinks is kind of his own universe, thinking about life and questioning why he's going through that experience. Another one would be Shawshank Redemption. I don't know if you guys remember this too. A much older movie. Morgan Freeman, at the very end, is giving a monologue of the actor crawling out of the sewage. I think he says almost 5 football lengths long of crawling through sewage and human waste. And then as soon as he gets out, instead of the Truman Show example, showing frustration, he gets out of the sewage. It's pouring rain on him. He puts his arms out, looks up towards the sky, and I think he is showing thankfulness. So these, I think to some degree, these moments of prayer, these are moments of prayer, because the movie characters are expressing something towards the universe. But not only that, they're hoping for a response. I think to deep down, they're showing that the characters are hoping for a response. So maybe in our own lives, we don't have something as dramatic. I mean, it is Vancouver, so it rains a lot, but it's more of a drizzle than a downpour, I think. But I don't have those rain moments. I can't think of a rain moment in my own life. But there are times when I remember walking to school, I'll be, you know, because they're most of Canada, you have snow and ice, so I'll be kicking an ice ball. But those moments, I'm like thinking to myself, why am I in the position I'm in? Or I've been through something, and I ask the question, why did I have to experience that? Or the simple question of why. You lead off those simple questions with why. I believe I was asking these questions, and I believe most people ask these questions because we all yearn for an answer. We all want a response. We all want to be heard. What if I told you that this response by someone or from someone we are actually being heard. Of course, I'm talking about God. God, our Heavenly Father, is there to listen to these prayers, these moments of lament, these moments of thankfulness, when we express ourselves to the universe. God is the one that's listening to us. God, our Heavenly Father, the Alpha and Omega, who exists beyond all borders of heaven or all conceived time, because he exists everywhere, so that he's available for each one of us when we pray. God is someone who fills that void when we're looking for an answer, that unanswered void. He's the one that can offer us a response. All we need to do is ask, seek, and knock. All we need to do is pray to God. So I was thinking about, when I was thinking about this asking God mentality or idea, just think about, there's a handful of students here that goes to Simon Fraser University, or SFU, I think. And imagine you get to school, you take this, what is it, a two-hour commute, I think, something like that, almost 2 hours up the hill or up the mountain to SFU, as some of the students have politely told me, kind of complaining, half complaining that it's a long commute. They get there, and their assignment's due. And then, oh my goodness, the prof wants a physical assignment. I don't even know why profs do that these days. But you get there, and you forget your assignments. Now, imagine you had to ask someone to drive you back to Richmond to pick up your assignment from your home and drive it back to Burnaby, right? Is it Burnaby? That's where it is? Just imagine that. The likelihood of that happening is probably zero, right? No one's going to drive all the way back, especially during rush hour, from Burnaby just to pick up your assignment and then come back. But I think it's more probable that if you ask someone close to you that you have a good relationship, like your dad might actually do that for you. Because your dad, you know your dad would answer you, first of all. He'd probably answer your text and actually respond to you, rather than a random person like, hey, can you do this for me? That random person might just walk away. So your dad would respond, and your dad, you probably believe that your dad would follow through with your request. So it's twofold. Likely to answer you, your dad is more likely to answer you. And the second part is you believe that he would actually pull through when you ask this request of him. This, I think, applies to God. When we pray to God, when we interact with God, we also have to believe God will answer us. And we actually have to believe that God would actually pull through with the request that we're offering up to him. I mean, if you don't think your dad is going to do that for you, why bother asking him, right? I think it's the same mentality with God. Why bother asking if you don't actually believe God would answer these things to you? So if you don't believe that God would answer you, or if you don't believe that God would actually pull through when you pray to him, it's hard for prayer to be actually something fruitful in your life. This type of relationship that I'm kind of talking about, it reminds me of my own relationship with my dad. Growing up, I always had hockey and soccer tournaments, so we would go on long, long road trips. And I learned a lot about my own dad. So when you're on your road trip, it's usually about 2 to 4 hours. It's usually in that range. That's usually how long the distances you had to travel. There are three parts to his eating habits. First part, he likes something chewy. Doesn't matter if it's usually the first couple hours, he likes something chewy. So you got to feed him some sort of gummy bear, something of the sort. The second part is crunchy. He likes crunchy at that part. Crunchy and coffee, Tim Horns coffee. It's Canadian staple, I guess. So like chips or pretzels. And then the third part comes around, and I know this for sure, he really likes something chewy again. But it's not like just like chewy, it's like, you know those like Chinese preserved stuff? What is it like? What is it called? Something, you know what I'm talking about. Like the pickly, chewy, Chinese preserved stuff that my dad eats all the time when we're on road trips. So that's the first thing I learned about my dad. Second thing I learned with my dad on these road trips is how to sleep in the same hotel room as him when he's snoring. So I don't know about you guys, but my dad, when he snores, it's like a freight train going through the room. Like, I always lose sleep for the first 2 nights, and my tournaments always last 2 days. So get no sleep during my tournaments. But the most important thing that I learned about my time with my dad during these sporting tournaments is how to communicate with him. That was the most important part for me. I was able to ask my dad these intricate intimate, in-depth questions because I knew him. Like for me, when I talk to people, I like to, especially when I'm exploring ideas, I like to pull things apart and understand, hopefully as deep down, the root of every question. For my dad, he was able to answer me. But not only was he able to answer me, I knew how to ask him these questions. I knew how to seek out new ideas and explore them with him. I knew how to converse with my dad about a myriad of things because I knew how to ask him. I knew my dad. Now, granted, it took many, many trips for me to explore these, learning how to sleep when he's snoring, learning how to ask him these questions. But I think this is the point I'm trying to convey is when you ask someone or something to another person within that relationship, we must be invested in that relationship, if that makes sense. The deeper the request we ask, right, the more intimate, in-depth question we ask, it can only be assumed that the relationship would be deeper. The deeper the request, the deeper the relationship. The deeper the request, the deeper the relationship. So why do we pray to God our Father, right? I'm highlighting this idea. I know this is the first kind of intro to our Dear Father prayer series. Why do we pray to the Father? Now, I've kind of established that it's nice, it's probably really good to at least have a relationship with God when we pray to him. So who do we pray to him? I think we pray to God our Father. So why Father? So let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 2, to look at why perhaps we pray to God our Father. When we read Luke chapter 11, verses 2, it reads, "He said to them, 'When you pray, say Father.'" I'm going to just pause there for a second in this verse. I want to isolate the word Father. I think this carries a lot of significance when we look at the deeper reason why we pray to God our Father. Not only is it just a title of God the Father, but it reminds us who God the Father is. It reminds us that he is that. In Aramaic, they use the equivalence of this father figure, the name would be Abba, like dad. It's using this familial connection. It's like praying to someone within a family. And I think this brings out the idea that God our Father has adopted each one of us into his family. I'm reminded of this because he even has a room for us all. In John chapter 14, there's a room for all of us because he not only is this familial paternal notion, he has adopted us into his family and has opened the doors for us to enter into his own home. So this should remind us of the loving grace, compassion that our Father has, our Heavenly Father has for us. He's always ready to listen. He's always ready to guide us. He's always ready to challenge and embrace us. And most importantly, he's always ready to listen and answer us. Father also brings up this idea for the Israelites specifically as Father the Creator. I think this also should remind us who our God, Heavenly Father is, our ultimate Creator. He's the architect of this world because this world is so complex. The world is so obscure in its structure, yet so analogous in all its connections. It's so intertwined and yet so almost separated. And amidst this complexity, creation retains such a profound beauty. To him, to remember him, our God, God our Father, is to remember that he is our Creator. Third one, Father also reminds us, recalls the name Yahweh. So I'm sure some of us has heard this name before. This name is sacred. This name is holy. This is the name I am. This is the name that God uses to reveal himself to the world. Our Heavenly Father is Yahweh. He is our God who reveals himself. And this through this connection, I think we can draw out a lot of characteristics, which is what I'm going to try to do today for us. Draw out these, shows glimpses of his amazing characteristics. So before I talk about his characteristics, what is the image of a father figure? What kind of image do we have of a father figure? For some, like myself, I think it's a bit easier because I've had a fairly strong father figure in my life. For some, it might be a bit more difficult, because we might not have that strong father figure. But what I want to highlight today about praying and praying to God, our Father, is the father figure and the characteristics in which he possesses, so that we sort of have an idea of who God our Father is. So our Heavenly Father is our banner, So the five things is a banner. He's always present. He's our provider. He's our healer. And he's our shepherd. I'll go through all five things in just a second. But banner, always present, provider, our healer, and our shepherd. What I'm going to do is review the Lord's Prayer from the Lukean account, from chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, chapter 11, verses 2 to 4, to look at how we can draw out the characteristics of God. So, let's start. The first passage in verse 2, Our Father, hallowed be your name. Beginning by addressing God as our Heavenly Father is addressing a name that's holy, that transcends. His name is bigger than all other names in the world. It has more authority, it has more power than all other names. So, this is the first characteristic. God is our banner. Yahweh Nisi, and you see this in Exodus. It's this idea that God is our rally point. When we think of God, we focus on that point when we get lost. God is also the point where he leads us into battle, right? If you think of a flag bearer in World War I, it's very common. If you're going out of the trenches, one of the first people to lead the battle is the flag bearer. Or if you, in older recent military times, the flag bearer is the one that leads us into battle. But not only does he lead us into battle, the flag bearer also is a rally point because battle can be so messy, it can be so violent, we get lost from our own group and unit. So God is also the rally point to where we can refocus where we're supposed to be. So God, just want to recap, God is the flag bearer in our life, for us in our life, because he leads us and equips us. Our Heavenly Father leads us into battle and becomes our strength to fight for us and empowers us to fight. And ultimately, he guides us all. The next one, as we continue on the Lord's Prayer, is your kingdom come. This point, I want to highlight the fact that God's presence is here with us. He's always putting his plans in action in our lives, in amidst our lives, and in this world. So Yahweh Shema. God exists beyond heaven. I think sometimes we have this idea that God is, I don't know, during the ancient times, the Greeks and Romans would believe there are different layers of spirituality, right? The cosmos is what they follow. And I think sometimes maybe we forget the fact that God exists beyond heaven. He exists here among us, and I think that's very important to remember. God is here. He's always present with his creation, and we see this from the beginning of time when he created the world. His spirit hovered over the waters, and it continues. His spirit dwells among the Israelites during their encampment. And then it continues as that idea culminates in the physical incarnation of Jesus Christ. His presence is always here and alive with us. Our Heavenly Father is here with us. The third one, as we move on, is God give us our daily bread. So what can we draw out from this? I think we can draw out the characteristic that God is our provider. God is the one who provides us daily, both physically and spiritually. So the Hebrew term for this is Yahweh Hireh. Probably with the J is probably a Y sound. God is a God of providence. He's there when we are in need. And we see this again in the Old Testament, when Abraham brings his son up into the mountain to be sacrificed, and God provides him a ram instead to be sacrificed. Because God is one who provides for us. We have to have the faith that he does provide for us. But not only do we request daily bread, like a food source, I think God being the one who provides for us, provides for our souls. And that's also a very important part when we pray to God our Father. He provides because he's the source of our strength, our wisdom, and ultimately, he's the source of our life. Our Heavenly Father provides. The next one, as we go along in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Forgiveness, I think, is a form of healing. And I think that's one of the other characteristics of God. He is a healer. Yahweh Rapha. God redeems his people. He takes them from a place of suffering and puts them into a place of freedom. And you see this in the story, in the Exodus story. He takes them from a place of suffering and brings them into freedom. He takes people from dark and bring them into light. He saw suffering and he freed them from that suffering. So that's an important part of healing, is the fact that God not only heals us physically, but he also heals us spiritually. Recently, I had a friend that had a huge heart surgery. Some of the staff know this. He died 3 times on the surgery table. And I remember all of us from my old community, we were all praying for him. And by the grace of God, he's still alive today. But I think that's just the power of what God can do through prayer when we pray for healing. He takes us from a place of dark and brings us into a place of light. He redeems and transforms us so that we're whole again. Our Heavenly Father is one who heals. The next one for the Lord's Prayer from Luke account is, lead us not into temptation. The Matthew account includes, but deliver us from evil. I think I'd like to include the Matthew account because this, I think we can draw God's characteristic as God our shepherd, Yahweh Ra'ah. In Psalms 23, we see God is our shepherd. He's the one that brings us back when we need to be protected. And when we get led astray, he's the one that takes us back and puts us into the protection of himself. So not only he tends and cares for us, he also protects each one of us. He cares for all of us. It's like the song lyric that references Matthew 18. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. It's referencing this idea that God's a shepherd, and he's willing to do anything so that we're found again. He's willing to do anything so that we're brought back before the end of each day, so that we don't have to be in a place of wilderness and darkness. He's our shepherd, and he prevents this for us. Our Heavenly Father shepherds. That's the fifth characteristic. So I know I went through the characteristics of God. These might not be all the characteristics that describe God clearly, but I think these five can help us perhaps draw a little closer to know who God is when we pray to God our Father. And then as we go down further in the Luke chapter 11, it reads, "For anyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open." When we know God, we can communicate well with our Heavenly Father. I think this goes with any relationship. When we know someone better, we communicate better. I know the characteristics of my dad, therefore I can speak better with my dad with better questions and explore different ideas. And I think this also relates to God, our Father. When we know God, we can communicate a bit better with him. But isn't that amazing, though? God always listens to us. When we knock, when we ask, God will always respond. When we knock on the door, he will always open. Just imagine that, right? If you guys can, close your eyes, and I'll just paint a picture for you. You're out in the cold. It's raining. It's pouring, right? Let's make it dramatic. And you walk up to these doorsteps, and God, we don't know where he is at this very moment. We feel lost. We don't know what to do. But the only thing we can see is a door that's a part of a cabin or our house. So we knock on that door, hoping for a response. I think in life, that's what we try to do. We always hope for this response. So as we knock on the door, we hear someone come to the door to open it. It's God behind that door. He opens a door, he opens it for us, and we walk through. And not only do we walk through into a place of darkness, into light, it is warm and fuzzy. And God's there to embrace us. I think you can open your eyes if you did close your eyes. I think this is a good illustration of what God can do for us through prayer. He's that person that responds whenever we ask, seek, and knock. But not. I also want to highlight another part of praying to God. God, our Heavenly Father, can offer us so much more. And we see this in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. I'm going to read 12 for you, or 11 to 12. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? I actually kind of chuckled the first time I read this when I was preparing, because imagine you ask your dad for a hard-boiled egg and you get a scorpion. I think the exaggeration that God is trying to highlight here is even your earthly father will give you what you ask him for. If you ask him for some food, he'll give you some food. If you ask him for an extra blanket because you're cold, your earthly father will give you a blanket. But then if your earthly father can give you that, how much more can your heavenly father offer you? How much more? Going back to the same example that I was alluding to earlier about going to hockey tournaments. There's this one time I was at a hockey tournament, and I remember this so clearly, so clearly. I woke up, and it was probably about 7:30 in the morning after not that many hours of sleep because my dad was snoring again. And I can hear a phone ring and my dad getting out of bed because we were sharing the same bed. And I remember that morning, I woke up and my dad goes straight to the bathroom. Maybe nature's calling. But no, he sits on the toilet with the door. He didn't close the door fully. And I could see a glimpse of him. And in that very moment, the morning was so crisp. You can smell the air. It was just beautiful outside. For some odd reason, it was snowing the day earlier, and it was just sunny outside. I can feel the warmth of the sun already. And that's rare for a winter morning. But as my dad is sitting in the bathroom, all I see him, he answers his phone, and he starts crying. He just breaks down in tears. I have never seen my dad do that in my entire life, and I don't think I ever will again. That very moment, my dad received a call that his dad passed away. We knew this leading up to that tournament because my grandfather was battling colon cancer. But in that very moment, when I realized my grandfather passed away, I was asking all these questions. Why is this happening? Why is it happening right now? Why can't my dad be there with his father when he's passing? Why? And I don't know if it was if there were direct words into my head from God, but I felt God's peace speak to me at that very moment. Just reminding me, my dad can offer me so much on this earth. He has given me a great life. I don't have to worry about a lot of things. It's not like I have to go get food every day and worry about what's going to be on the table that night. If my earthly dad can do all of this, at that very moment, that Heavenly Father reminded me, this is who I am. I can offer you so much more. He can offer us a life of salvation, a life where we're always in communion with God. And I think that is one of the most powerful things that we can explore. And I think we should all explore this idea. I wanted to just take a moment. For those who might not know God that well, if you don't know God, your Heavenly Father, take a moment now and just explore that idea. And through that, I hope you can also pray to God. If you're wanting a relationship with God, pray to God that you want that relationship. Just take a moment and think about your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Right, so exploring the characteristics of God is, I think, a first start. It's not like the only way of praying. I don't think it's the only way of communicating with God. By no means do I think that. But I think perhaps exploring these characteristics today as the introduction to our sermon series of prayer, it offers us a glimpse of who God is, of who our Heavenly Father figure might be in our own lives. Maybe we really don't know God, our Heavenly Father, too well. But maybe these characteristics can help give us guidance of who we're praying to, of who this father figure is. The father figure who is our banner, where we rally around, who is constantly there for us, constantly available and present, who is our provider, who heals us, and who ultimately shepherds us. Again, reminding myself, knowing God deeper can help us request deeper. I think when you know God more, perhaps the deeper the request we have for God, we also need to consider that maybe we also need a deeper connection with God, a deeper relationship with God. But remember, as I said, this isn't the only way to pray to God. You don't always have to pray about these specific characteristics. But prayer is so much more than just words and knowing who God is. It should also be an attitude. When we approach God, it's an attitude of openness. An attitude of openness. Tremper Longman III writes in his book, Heart and Mind, prayer is an attitude of openness and submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is an opening of our hearts to him, even if we have no words at all. An attitude of vulnerability, a deep longing for this relationship with God is, I think, what he's trying to get at. Sometimes when we pray to God, even myself, I don't really have anything specific to pray at times. Many times I ask people, how can I pray for you? Their response is, I don't know. But maybe that's what Tremper Longman is trying to get at here. When we pray to God, it's not just a series of words. It's not a series of necessarily knowing which characteristics, although that can help. But it is also a point where perhaps prayer is when we're so close of a relationship to God, we can be within his presence and not say anything. And that in itself is prayer. A communication, be in communication with God without words. Right? This past Christmas, I was spending time with family, and everyone always asked me, what activities did you do? I simply told them, I sat on a couch with my parents. I didn't have to say anything to my parents. It's just being in the presence of my family was enough. It was already fulfilling enough. And perhaps that's what prayer is as well. Being in presence with God. Not having to say a word. But that is a communication in itself. So pray. I do implore you to pray. Pray to our Heavenly Father, because that can be a reference point where how we start our prayer. Pray to God, because I think that will offer you a better perspective of where we're getting our response from. Maybe that can help you direct specifically what prayers you're looking for and what request you have. Ask, seek, knock, pray to our God, our Father. God's characteristics reveal God's constant, infinite availability to us. He's always ready to relate and respond to us. So, as I close off today, let us be reminded of who God the Father is in us. Let us be reminded of his love for his creation. And let us be reminded of God, our relational heavenly Father. So in this time, let us approach God in prayer. So if I can ask you guys all to rise and join me in prayer. God, our heavenly Father, we ask for your presence to be here among us today as you hear our prayers. We know your characteristics. We talked about them. Hopefully, we know a bit more about you. As this time we pray, we offer up all our voices to you. We address you as our Heavenly Father because ultimately you are our creator and our source of life. Teach us continually as we continue to pray here. Teach us how to pray to communicate better with you, and maybe through that, know you more. May you be here in our presence and within us as we go on in the week, and continue to teach us how to pray. So God, I just want to pray for being our God, revealing your characteristics through Scripture, to showing us how amazing and loving you are. You do heal, you do shepherd, you do love us, you do embrace us. And God, I want us to all remind ourselves and be reminded of who you are in our lives. So teach us deeply what prayer is. Show us what prayer is in our own context. There's no one formula, but the relationship and communication we have with you, God, is a prayer. So teach us that. And grant us through the relationship with you, God, grant us power and the blessings to continue to follow you faithfully and servantly. In God we pray, amen.